This is How Sound People, the backstory to great audio storytelling. I'm Rob. I produce How Sound for PRX and Transom. Laurel Morales was taught, don't share your script. Don't share your script with anyone you're reporting on. Teachers at Northwestern University told her that when Laurel was earning her master's in journalism. Editors at NPR and radio stations said the same thing.
And I had conversations with editors where I said, hey, can I send them the script before this airs? And they would say, no, that is not our policy.
That's the policy, because journalistically speaking, sharing a script with a source is a conflict of interest. A reporter is supposed to act independently and not be a mouthpiece. Letting someone review a story takes that risk. So for the last 20 years, Laurel followed the rules. Don't share scripts. But not anymore.
A couple years ago, Dwayne Koyawina and his friend Landis Bahi were hanging out at Landis's house. Dwayne was painting a skateboard deck. The two of them were brainstorming different ways to display their artwork, something other than canvas paintings on a wall. That's when they came up with the idea to display their skateboards.
So I was like, man, let's get a show together. And he was like, yeah, we could do it at my tattoo shop.
When Laurel was a reporter at KJZZ in Phoenix, she typically filed one-minute news wraps and standard four-minute public radio stories, usually about Indian country. The station also let Laurel produce three long-form podcasts, and she loved it. It allowed her to dive in and develop characters and explore deeper truths that short public radio stories just didn't get at. She wanted to produce more, but the station said, no, we need you filing news stories. So she left and took this podcast with her.
They called the show Pivot. To them, it was about culture, evolution, art, inspiring the young, and opening the eyes of an older generation to a new style of art. That word, pivot, is one that Dwayne's come back to again and again throughout his life. This is Two Lives. I'm Laurel Morales.
The idea behind Two Lives is simple. It's in the tagline of the show, a quote from Confucius. We all have two lives. The second begins the moment we realize we only have one. For the podcast, Laurel produces stories about people who experienced profound difficulties in their lives, difficulties that transformed them. Like wrestling with the choice to place a child for adoption, or confronting bullying, struggles with mental illness, and moving on after an accident, and stories like this one about addiction and recovery.
Dwayne grew up the youngest of three kids as an Air Force brat. The family landed in Albuquerque for most of his childhood. His dad is Hopi. His mother is part Hopi and part Tewa. The family made efforts to visit the reservations as much as they could. Dwayne's dad, Lloyd Koyawina, was a good-looking man.
I can recall him wearing his polyester pants with a crease and cowboy boots when he would dress up. And he just had a really clean look. And then also when he was in his Air Force uniform, when he would pick me up, I thought he was just like the biggest thing, you know.
This story is about Dwayne Koyawina. He learned to draw from his dad. They'd visit an Air Force base and his dad would say, what's your favorite plane? And Dwayne would point to it, and his dad would pull out a sketchbook and draw it. Dwayne started drawing, too. As Dwayne got older, he came to understand his dad had a drinking problem. His father would drive drunk with the kids in the car, and once he found his dad passed out in the bathroom.
When Dwayne turned 13, everything shifted. He was hanging out at his best friend's house when the two of them found a bottle of gin. His buddy took a sip and passed it to Dwayne. They took swigs, passing it back and forth until they were falling down and acting goofy.
There was nobody home at my friend's house. And I think I had laid down on the kitchen floor and I was just out. And I had gotten sick and on the kitchen floor and it was just a mess.
Even though he got sick, he liked it enough to do it again and again. Pretty soon, the kids in high school thought of him as the party guy.
I guess in that feeling, I felt that zing of like, you know, this is it. And I found a spot where I fit. Me and the group of friends, we would throw parties and they were always the good parties. And I didn't shake that. I didn't shake that part of me. I got stuck in that.
He graduated from high school, but couldn't hold down a job. Employers got fed up with his excuses, calling in sick. His family was worried about him. So he thought, it's time to pivot.
I came to Flagstaff and just brought the monster to Flagstaff.
I'm moving through the story quickly here, but Dwayne's dad eventually died of cirrhosis, scarring and damage to his liver. Dwayne kept drawing and started selling some of his work. He was good. He also kept drinking, and he had run-ins with the law. One time he was so drunk he woke up at a bus stop and walked around with only one shoe in a bad part of Phoenix. His sister Holly tried to help, but to no avail.
It was around this time Dwayne's family went to Okeawinge in New Mexico for a tewa ceremony. At his aunt's house, his uncles and male cousins pulled him aside, took Dwayne to a back bedroom, closed the door, and had a real intervention. Dwayne says he saw it coming. Holly says this was the Hopi way.
Your family, your godparents, are there to guide you and make sure that you're on this path of living that good life.
And we all sat down as men, and they kind of just, you know, were real with me and, you know, told me, you know, that I'm fucking up and telling me that I need to shape up.
Dwayne was annoyed, defensive even.
Cousin started speaking, and I never forgot this, but he did tell me that, you know, he's like, Dwayne, man, he's like, you got so much talent in that hand. He's like, don't throw it away.
I'm going to leave the story there. You'll have to listen to the rest to find out what happens. But it's Dwayne's story that prompted Laurel to change her practice and start sharing scripts. One day, Laurel ran into Dwayne at an art gallery in Flagstaff.
He said, when's the episode dropping? And I told him. And he said, we'd be sure to share it with me before. I just want to make sure I didn't share something I wasn't supposed to. Specifically, sacred moments from his Hopi culture that would be disrespectful, a big no-no to his elders to broadcast. And at first I was hesitant and, you know, started to say what I have said many times before, that that's not our practice. And then I caught myself because right now I'm making up my own rules.
What Laurel means is she's an independent producer now, a freelancer. She's not required to follow any institutional guidelines for Two Lives, such as don't share scripts. Now, at the point Dwayne made his request, Laurel was pretty far along in the production process. She'd not only written a script, she'd assembled a rough cut of the story. And she wondered, should I share that?
It felt really vulnerable to send this rough cut to this person. But then I thought, how vulnerable is it for them? Especially Two Lives, where they're sharing parts of their story that are probably the darkest moments of their lives.
She hesitated. The rules of journalism nagged at her. The only time she made an exception in the past about sharing scripts was when she shared transcripts of quotes she was using in a story. And once, while reporting a science piece, she shared an entire script of the scientist in the story. And she was glad she did because he offered an important correction. And that was it. Those were the only times she stepped over the line. But in this case, Laurel said she couldn't live with herself if she didn't email Dwayne the rough cut. So she pressed send.
And he did ask me to remove a couple of cultural references I had made. Images that he and his father have both painted that are considered sacred in Hopi culture that they don't talk about. And there was something about his personal life that he didn't want revealed. And he also made a correction. And, you know, we emailed back and forth about this and sent him another version and wound up, I think, in the end, making the story better. And even more importantly, because I made those changes, it was a story he was comfortable sharing. And he has a pretty big following on Instagram, so that really helps, you know, the podcast.
How did it feel to you to share it and to have him suggest changes?
I was surprised at how much better I felt about the process, especially since I'm, you know, I am working with a story editor, and I've been sending some episodes to friends to listen to, but I don't have a whole lot of years on these stories before they go out into the universe. And so I'd much rather
it be something that he felt comfortable with. I think, and this may sound cheesy, but what I've witnessed in doing Two Lives is people healing through storytelling. And I think if you get that wrong, it's it interrupts that. And so Dwayne had fortunately shared his story with teen groups, Al-Anon. So I knew he was comfortable talking about his story. But this is, you know, this is different. It's recorded and it can be listened to again and again.
Dwayne's story was the first episode Laurel produced after leaving KJZZ. Since then, she says she's shared rough cuts for about 24 more stories. She told me a couple of people recommended a lot of changes. For instance, in a story about race and gender, the interviewees suggested revisions to fix inaccuracies. Laurel says she was happy to oblige. And in a couple of other cases, writers she interviewed offered useful structural changes. But by and large, the fixes she's made related to facts. And so she feels the practice of sharing has been helpful.
But there was one time when it backfired, and the person I interviewed wanted to take out what I thought was the funniest part of the story. And it was a really heavy story. And this moment brought some levity. But she curses in a way that she's never cursed any other time in her life. She was quoting herself in this moment and just didn't feel like that represented her. And I called her because she's also written a book. She had written a memoir, and she included this moment in her book using the curse words. And I talked to her and tried to get at why she didn't want to share it, but it was okay to leave in her book. And she said, well, there were 300 or so pages in the book that provided more context, whereas this is a 20 to 30 minute story, and she didn't feel it was enough context to know that she was the kind of person who didn't normally say things like this. So we worked together. I explained to her that it would be really great to have a moment of levity in this story. And she said, oh, okay. And then we talked about another moment in the book that she was more comfortable sharing, and went and recorded herself talking about that so that I could then replace the other moment with that one.
That's really interesting. I'm wondering if you feel like there's a line in the sand somewhere. Like, for instance, what if Dwayne, the artist, had said, please don't talk about my dad. He's no longer alive, and I don't want to tarnish his reputation. And he's not here to speak for himself. Would you take his dad out? Like, where's the line in the sand for you?
I think when it's so much a part of the story, like Dwayne's story was about interrupting the cycle of alcoholism, and his father was such a big part of that.
Two Lives is a nonfiction podcast. It's a true story that you're telling. How can I be assured that I'm getting a truthful story from Two Lives and not some kind of press release about someone? Here's what I'm thinking about. I remember talking to photographers about this very issue, where there's a question, do I share photographs before they're published with the person who's in the photograph? And photojournalists say, absolutely not. For all the same reasons that, you know, public radio reporters say, absolutely not. And I feel like they would throw on one more reason, which is vanity. people will look at a photo and go, you know, I really don't look good from the left. Do you have any photos that look where I look good from the right? My profile's better in that direction, or whatever they would say. And I think the same thing can happen too with tape, by the way. You know, am I that nasally? You know, I feel like I didn't say it really clearly. Do you mind if we do a retake? Like, I just feel like it opens a door. But using the photo analogy for just a second, it ends up being that the photojournalist then would be choosing photographs that make the person look good. Isn't there a risk that you're going to sanitize a story by following the direction of the person in the story?
I think it's a valid question, but I don't think if you've listened to Two Lives, if you would feel like those are press releases. Like, I don't know if Dwayne would share his Two Lives story with a future employer. Yes, I'm sharing a rough cut with them, but they know that I have the final say. The final version isn't shared. I haven't run into an occasion where people are pissed at what's in the podcast feed.
So you're saying, let me see if I understand, you're okay with sort of cleaning things up a little bit so that they feel a little more comfortable in the fact that they're sharing their worst day. So it's not a sanitized version, right? But it's one that makes them feel more at ease.
Yeah. And by clean up, it's usually an accuracy, like a date. With one of the storytellers, they didn't want me to say the name of their ex-girlfriend or even mention that they had an ex-girlfriend because they just hate that chapter of their life. And I said, but that's a pretty significant part of you now have this child with this person. So we have to mention her existence. And so I will talk to people about the changes I'm willing to make and the changes I'm not willing to make.
So what's your takeaway about this practice?
Oh, I feel so much better about the stories. And I think there was this sense when I was reporting before I did Two Lives, where I'd sort of hold my breath after the story went out into the ether. And, you know, yes, I've done my due diligence. I've, you know, interviewed multiple sources and I've fact checked and I have an editor who's checked it. But still, I think I sort of held my breath, hoping that everything in the story was accurate. One of the reasons why I'm not news reporting anymore is there's a stress that I held because of that. In my 20 some years of reporting, I did my best to be fair, accurate, balanced, all of the things that I've learned in my training. But in the end, you just hope that you did the story justice, especially the really important stories that decision makers would hear or voters would hear. And you really want the story to land. And that's a lot to put on your shoulders. And so telling the Two Lives stories and working with someone to share their really hard stuff and how those moments change them. Ideally, I want them to feel empowered and maybe that this process of sharing their story even feels healing. It's not my story that I'm sharing. It's somebody else's story. That's a gift. So it feels right to share the rough cut.
Food for thought from Laurel Morales. She's the reporter, producer, editor, and all the things for the podcast Two Lives. What say you? Do you share scripts or rough cuts? Let us know at the post for this episode at transom.org. Starbucks workers are unionizing. Amazon workers are unionizing. Podcasters have unionized too. At Transom, as part of the Starting Out series, there's discussion with three current and former staffers at Gimlet. They recall the effort it took to organize a union there and the changes it made in day-to-day work. Look for Starting Out at transom.org. Ari Daniel takes a razor-sharp sushi knife to my raw scripts. Jay Allison also reviews my scripts. My thanks to both of you. Thanks also to PRX and Transom, the co-producers of How Sound. And thanks to WCAI for letting me record in their studios. Thank you for listening. I'm Rob Rosenthal.
from PRX.
And transom.org.